Let's do this.
Woo!
Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes live podcast. Brian Fritz here, along with Michael Wiseman. Notice I didn't say the A because...
What?
He's only a B minus.
Whoa!
But appreciate everybody for joining in onto the live weekly video. We ask a couple things of everybody. We appreciate you watching, but please subscribe to us. You're on YouTube. Also, please share our videos, share the page, tell everybody that you like us, and like the page while you're at as well. And feel free to make comments as well. And of course, you can also listen to this. It'll be up on our Between the Ropes regular podcast feed. Go to betweentheropes.com. We've got the links right there where you can sign up. You can find us on iTunes and on Stitcher. Please rate us and review us there as well. You can also hear us on other apps like the Downcast app or on TuneIn. But we appreciate everybody for joining in. Also, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And you can check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/betweentheropes. We've got Raw to talk about. We've got Elimination Chamber coming up on Sunday. We've got some NXT news and news about TNA wrestling as well. Don't everybody implode, okay? We are just the bearers of news. We are not trying to guess what is going on. We are not hoping that anything bad goes on. We are just saying what the news is about TNA. So don't take it out on us, okay?
But no. That if you do implode about TNA wrestling or do talk about it or even say the name Dixie Carter in the same sentence as the word canceled, TNA will sue you.
They will sue you. They will be coming after you because it's proprietary language and they know everything that goes on in every corner of the internet. So they will come after you. So just watch yourself.
Is that what Josh Matthews does these days? He like monitors Twitter and the internet and wrestling sites to see if anybody's talking bad about TNA. Is that his new job?
Well, he also has his fashion podcast, which he took a break of talking about men's fashion this week, I believe, as he decided to talk about some of the scuttlebutt that was going on the internet when it comes to TNA and responding to fans and accusations.
Okay. Accusations. They throw this word around a lot. Have you noticed that? It's like they're accusing TNA of like, TNA, can't believe you went out there and did that thing. Like, nobody's saying like TNA did something. We're just saying that Destination America is rumored to have canceled them.
Right. Well, let's get into that now. We'll get into Raw in a few minutes, but
Raw can wait.
Yes. The report came out last week. Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, had it in his newsletter. You can sign up over at F4WOnline.com, but he had the report that TNA is being canceled. Now, if you want to say canceled, if you want to say not being picked up, not being renewed, I know some people will say, well, there is a difference. There really is not. It's just semantics. But the report that Dave had is there was an internal memo from, I believe, a couple of weeks ago within people from Destination America and said, come September, we are not renewing TNA wrestling programming. And by the way, the only program right now that they're airing of TNA's is Impact Wrestling, which has been on Friday nights. And beginning June 3rd, it's actually going to be on Wednesday night. And the report was that, you know, show's going to be gone. The biggest problem isn't the ratings. They're okay with the ratings. It's just that none of their advertisers want to spend money to advertise with TNA, which is a common problem for a lot of different wrestling programs. And it's been a huge problem for Destination America. So they have made the decision not to renew the show. Now, that internal memo was sent out. And then a couple of days later, Destination America announced TNA was going to be changing nights from Friday night to Wednesday night. And that is a much better night. So it seems like there's some conflicting things here from a standpoint of why would you cancel or not renew a show and then move it to a better time slot? And also, nobody wanted this news really to get out because it does nobody any good. It definitely does not do TNA any good when it comes to negotiating and trying to get a new TV deal. If, in fact, they're going to be gone from this network and trying to find a new one, knowing that they're going to have them over a barrel. Plus, it doesn't help Destination America because they don't want their programming to be seen as lame duck. And they want people to actually still tune in and watch the show. So there's a lot of different things going on here. Because they move nights, Meltzer even said in a report that maybe this is a fluid situation. Maybe things have changed. But since then, people have really gone off the deep end saying, there it is again. Everybody's out to get TNA. We're the diehard fans. And why are you picking on them? And TNA even sent out a release to a lot of different sites saying, hey, there's stuff that's out there that is not true. And if you go with these things, you know, we could sue you.
But it's worth mentioning in that press release, they never once denied the cancellation. They said what some people are saying is not true.
Right.
But they did not go as far to say we are not being canceled. We are being picked up. None of that stuff. So,
well, they didn't even say like what the accusations were or what the report was. They never said the report put out by Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, stated this. This is untrue. They never said exactly what it was. They never said what the rumor or the accusation or the report was. None of that. And on top of that, nobody from TNA has come out specifically and said, this is hogwash. And more importantly, nobody from Destination America has come out and said, this is not true. Where you would think that if this was not true, that they would get ahead of it. And they would instantly put out a statement saying, we are not dropping this programming. This is not true. And even according to Meltzer, he said that he has had conversations with Dixie Carter going back a couple of weeks about this. And she did not respond. She did not give him any kind of comment. She did not, and TNA did not get out ahead of it. So this is all coming out now. So we'll see if anything changes. But according to the report, and there's been no denials, TNA Wrestling will no longer air following the end of the third quarter, which is the end of September, on Destination America. And they will once again be looking for a new TV home, which is going to be extremely tough considering that it's wrestling programming. They don't have the stars that they once had. They do have a little bit of a brand name. But this will be the second year in a row that they've been canceled from TNA from television. And it's going to be hard to find somebody else out there that says, number one, I'm interested in wrestling. And number two, I want somebody that's already been with two other cable channels and it didn't work out there.
I think there's a couple of things here that really strike me as interesting. First off, it's TNA's tactics in dealing with this news in that they come out in the offensive. And that's what I think bothers me the most as somebody who reported the news, who's talked about the news, and who's in that circle, for them to come out in this way and be on the offensive and threaten journalists. And really a lot of this is building on the back of Dave Meltzer, who we talked about as the godfather of the internet wrestling community. I mean, he is the guy that kind of built up all these news sources, made all these contacts. For them to come out in that way and almost want to attack journalists, that bothers me a little bit because it's not, they don't even have a leg to stand on with this. And they're threatening.
Let me read the statement, actually, because I've got it in front of me now. So here's the statement. It has come to our attention that several internet news sources have falsely attributed statements to TNA, its executives and broadcast partner. These false statements constitute defamation, and if necessary, we will seek all legal remedies available to us.
What false statements? What are they saying is false? They're not
right.
What I mean?
So the report came out like on last Wednesday at around whatever time it was, 7 or 8 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
TNA did not issue that.
It was later than that because I didn't hear about it until after NXT at 11 o'clock.
I think it came out about 8 o'clock Eastern, but nobody else had it until after NXT. But anyway, TNA did not issue that statement right there for about another 20 hours.
Mm.
So in 20 hours, they had plenty of time to have a rebuttal, and that was a rebuttal. So, and like you said, there's what report, what accusations, all those different things. Hey, this is not a case, and a lot of people have said this, and we're in the same boat, and we honestly mean this. I do not wish ill will towards TNA, okay? I want to see other wrestling organizations thrive. There is a lot of talent that's on a TNA roster, and I'd love to see some other talent get signed up. The problem has been the management with TNA. That has been a problem for years now. I do not wish any ill will towards them, but they have been run haphazardly, and that management has been driving them to the ground. And that's why they have not been successful. And I mean, even despite that, I want to see them survive. I want to see all these guys have jobs. I want to see more wrestling that's out there. I want to see alternative products. The problem is that it has not been run correctly. They didn't have a great broadcast partner, it sounds like, in Destination America. And this is all falling apart.
Well, that was what I was going to say next is it's like you can't even talk about TNA or mention that the news is out there that they're being canceled without a certain subset of the internet basically saying, don't talk bad about TNA. And it's not that people are talking bad about them. It's that they're saying the truth. And I agree with you. I wish no ill will towards the talent, towards the organization as a whole. But I think some of the management issues there have caused what you're seeing today. It's like WCW back in the day. People loved it until it sucked. And all that was caused by management. And I think TNA has a great roster. They've had a great roster in the past. They've had an even greater roster in the past. But that management team down there has made some very questionable decisions over the years. And there have been a number of incidents. I'm thinking where they forgot to get wrestling licenses a couple of years ago, their negotiation with certain techniques, the way they've approached their creative side of their product in the past, that it just leaves you wondering, what were they thinking? And I wish no ill will towards TNA, and I agree that it is better for the professional wrestling landscape if we have more organizations in play and more talent out there on a bigger screen. But I almost feel like it's time for another organization to take that number two spot and see what they can do with it, because TNA's had their 10 years to do this, and they've kind of fallen on hard times time and time again. So let's see what another number two could do in that spot. And maybe with this gap opening up, maybe that's better. Not saying it's good for people to lose their jobs or to lose their spot on TV, but maybe it's better if we have three or four organizations vying for that number two spot. Ring of Honor, Global Force Wrestling. We have New Japan, all of them vying for that number two spot instead of TNA just kind of sewing up the market on what that could be.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Global Force Wrestling, I mean, you know, they're doing TV tapings coming up later this summer, but they have still not announced a television deal. And I don't know if they have one yet. I would tend to believe they do not. They've talked to a lot of different places, but I don't know how close they are to a TV deal. One of the places that they've talked to is Spike. And that would be the best deal. We've talked about it a little bit before, that if you can convince Spike to get back in the television and the wrestling business, that would be huge for them. And, you know, they've already announced Chael Sonnen as one of their broadcasters. If they could lock in Jim Ross, I think that would take a huge step forward in getting a deal done with Spike. I don't know if that would close the deal or anything, but I think it would definitely help a lot. But with TNA, you've got to remember this too, okay? WWE is their own entity when it comes to wrestling, okay? You can't group them with other wrestling organizations. But when it comes to the Ring of Honors and the TNAs and the Global Force and New Japan and Lucha Underground, whether fair or not, because they are wrestling, but they are not WWE. They are all grouped together. So when one has a problem, one gets canceled, okay? Say Lucha Underground does not get renewed, and that's still up in the air, okay? Say this report, as we believe, is in fact true. And TNA is going to be off Destination America come the end of September. It does not look good not only for TNA, but it does not help other wrestling entities that are trying to get TV deals. Because if one of them does not make it somewhere, makes it look like, why should I pick you up? Why should I give you a deal? Because you are not WWE. You're just one of these other groups.
Right, right. And I think, again, talking about TNA wrestling being your front face of the alternative wrestling product. And I think a few years ago, that wasn't such a bad thing. But the way they've fallen down that ladder in recent years, not the talent, again, nothing against the talent, but the way that organization as a whole has fallen down that ladder the last couple of years, you kind of want somebody else, touching on what you were saying a minute ago, Brian, you kind of want somebody else being that number two who can maybe make wrestling look better and make that alternative wrestling product look better. And I think that's best for the whole landscape, is a number two that, I don't know, maybe doesn't have the baggage with the TNA has these days.
Yeah, TNA is going to have a little bit of an issue coming up here when it comes to their TV tapings as well. Okay, so they're doing Slammiversary live on pay-per-view, right? And that's on Sunday the 28th, I believe. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the problem, okay? So they were going to do a live edition of Impact, and they are. Originally, it was going to be on Friday the 26th. And then they were going to do Slammiversary. And then they were going to do a few days of TV tapings afterwards, right? But now that the show has been moved to Wednesdays, they're going to do the live edition of Impact on that Wednesday, which is the 24th. But rather than sending talent home and bringing them back to Orlando for Slammiversary and then the TV tapings, or just having them sit around for a few days, they're going to utilize the time in between. So that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they can do TV tapings. Here's the problem. Those TV shows are not going to air till after the pay-per-view. So now, I mean, this is a problem that we've seen in wrestling in the past. They've done this. But now, how do you explain some of the things or some of the new feuds when the pay-per-view is used as the blow-off?
Right.
What's going to happen? And then now you have to explain things that have happened after that. Or what happens if, say, Kurt Angle is no longer your world heavyweight champion and somebody else is? Can you have that person walk out with the belt? Because, I mean, you're just giving away what's going to happen on the pay-per-view.
Sure.
Or can you only do stuff with the belt backstage? So that is a huge problem. That's definitely not TNA's problem. I mean, that's not their fault from a standpoint that Destination America is moving them to Wednesday nights. It's right. A better night. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to save them, but it's obviously a better night. And now that creates a huge problem for them in when it comes to TV and trying. I mean,
what is the
it'll look wacky already, but I mean, to try to keep everything in order, I mean, that's got to be a nightmare.
What is the what time is TNA going on Wednesday nights? Did it say?
It's still the same time.
Okay, because again, you said it's a better night. I mean, Friday nights are kind of a death sentence for most shows, but Wednesday night, you're already talking about NXT, which I think is the biggest competitor to a lot of these indie organizations. Not that TNA is indie, but you have NXT on Wednesday nights, you have Lucha Underground, and you have TNA all on the same night, and that is a very crowded marketplace.
It is. Well, I'll say this, though. I mean, Lucha, just like TNA, is not available in a lot of households.
Sure.
NXT is on the WWE Network, so if you don't watch it live, you can just watch it whenever you want. So it's a little bit different as well. Here's the thing that I look at, though, okay? So TNA, for years now, has had a very loyal fan base because their ratings have stayed around the same when it comes to – just look at Spike, okay? So a little over a million, right, for years. Mm-hmm. A little over a million viewers, and it stayed steady for a long period of time. So they moved to Destination America – and they're on Friday nights. Well, Destination America is not available in as many homes as Spike, obviously. It's about half. So what's happened to their audience? It's gone down to about half, even a little bit less. So that tells me the same loyal viewers that were watching on Spike are the same ones that are watching you now. It's just not as many of them can get the channel. And that tells me that the numbers are probably going to be the same even when they're on Wednesday nights.
Well, I was going to say, if they went back, let's say this is never going to happen, but let's say Spike TV is like, nah, you know what, guys, come on back home. Let's see if we can work this deal out again. If that were to happen, do you think their numbers would go up? Would they go up significantly? Would they reach back to their old levels, or yes. Would they still? Okay,
I think they'd go back up to around a million.
A million, okay,
over a million.
Okay, so we think that is kind of TNA's threshold, and the reason I bring that up is because. Even whenever TNA was clicking, we'll say right before they went to Monday nights or right after they came off of Monday nights, when TNA was at that peak, they were only doing about a million and a half, if I'm remembering correctly.
The highest numbers that they did on a consistent basis, and I don't know how many weeks it was around a million and a half.
Yeah. I mean, that was their peak. And then that was some pretty good television, too. People talk about the down days of TNA. TNA had some great weeks and some great months in there.
Sure. The night that they went head-to-head with Raw, the first time they did that, remember, they had, like, Rob Van Dam showed up, and Jeff Hardy showed up, and can't remember who else was on there. They did 2 million viewers, I believe.
Yeah, I think about 2.1 million is what right. I remember, right over 2.
But then it was, like, a couple months later when they actually moved to Monday nights, and a month later they said, let's get the hell out of Dodge.
They dipped under a million, right? It's around 0.8 is what kind of,
0.6.
Like, 0.6, wow.
They went to 0.6.
So, I mean, again, I don't know what else people are expecting of TNA this day and age. I think there's some great talent down there. But what if TNA in an ideal world was clicking creatively and there was some great matches on? What do you think TNA could do, guys? This is kind of the point. TNA maxed out at about 1.5 million viewers. And not that I think TNA needs to go away, but maybe I do think that. And maybe I think another organization should try this and see what they can do, because the upside there could be greater than 1.5 million, which is better for the wrestling community as a whole.
I think that the biggest sin, if you want to put it that way, that TNA did was not creating a true alternative brand that they were using. That at one point, They were creating their own talent. They're taking guys from Ring of Honor, guys that had not been seen on television very much or at all. And they were making something. It was like homegrown talent kind of a thing. And I understand that they wanted to get in some established stars to try to get some more eyeballs on there. And I understand the gamble when it came to Hulk Hogan. But the problem is they became too much of something else. And they weren't an alternative. They're trying to be what everybody else was when it came to WCW and WWE. And they just needed to be the best that they could be by utilizing younger talent, fresher talent, guys that had not been seen on a national scene. You can use a name or two here, but once you have some other guys established, like they had worked hard to establish guys like Chris Daniels and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and America's Most Wanted. You have these guys and you keep bringing in other guys and you have really hot matches. You have good adult storylines. I'm not saying blood all the time or guys cussing left and right, but don't cater to the audience that WWE is. Cater to a little bit of an older audience. You know, do something that's different and build on what you've got. Are you going to do the same numbers as WWE? No. Don't worry about that. But if you can build on that 1.5, and if you could have gotten to 2 million, you've been doing great.
I think what you're going to look back on, and I can't believe I'm saying this now in 2015, because it did not seem like it at the time. And I remember this very clearly, watching the product and being excited about it. But I think you're going to look back at 2009 and leaving 2009, going into 2010 with Hulk Hogan coming into your product. And I think that is a turning point that ended up hurting TNA the most. Not that I think, you know, you have the chance to get Hulk Hogan on your product. I understand why you do it. And I understand what that offers up. But as soon as Hulk Hogan came in, he took away the six sides and he changed up the product. And he put these other guys that are, he put Abyss and a few of these other guys in the at the forefront of the product, saying that they were the future. And all these creative things changed. You had Ric Flair coming in wrestling matches. And you changed this and that and this and that. And again, I understand why that was tempting to Dixie Carter. But go back to Turning Point 2009, which I think was the last pay-per-view in the pre-Hulk Hogan era. Your main event, AJ Styles, Daniels, Samoa Joe. And it was a freaking awesome match. And that was what TNA was, and it had an identity, and all of that went away. Those guys weren't used as heavily. TNA is still here. I'm not saying it was a death knell, but TNA has not been the same since. It suffered right. A few blows. It's not been the same since.
Well, it's funny you said the thing about Hulk Hogan, because if you had used him as a talent, as an authority figure, fine. But once he was used in the creative process, that's where it did not work.
Right.
And giving him that much, you know, how much power. By the way, you keep bringing up a name. Could it be, you know, this guy right? Oh, what is that? Oh! How'd I get one of those?
Wow! Where'd you get? Did you go to a Ring of Honor show to get that? Get that?
Considering that is an NXT shirt, I did not. I got in before they were all sold out at the NXT here in Orlando, Full Sail University, last week.
Cheap pop there, huh? There
yeah, go. Man. Well, it's nice. Funny because, like, I guess all the largest sold out on the first night, the Wednesday night following the live show, or very close to selling out. But the following night, they still had some T-shirts. They only had a few left. And I was like, I wonder if I could fit into a medium. And I figured I did, so I got it. And I actually do fit into a medium somehow.
That's impressive, because I could not. My pot belly over here, all this beer that I drink all the time, yeah, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, what are you partaking in? This
nursing afternoon? A little Fat Tire. It is my go-to beer of choice. If you can find Fat Tire in a can, double props to you, because it's even better. But this is kind of my go-to. I have a sticker.
Really? Why is it better in a can?
Okay, there's actually a scientific reason, I believe, that I've heard this before from people who actually understand science, because first off, it's the CO2 and everything.
Bill Nye going here, man.
Right. Which is now on Netflix. I was watching something the other night. Anyway, the CO2 and everything in the can is more like what you'd find on tap. And light doesn't get in. It protects the flavors better than the glass bottle, because in this, you can get light in here and things like that. So
if you just get a tap at your house, because when it's on draft, it's always the best.
Right. Well, that's the next step, but the wife won't let me. She says it's too expensive.
Just get a pony keg and a draft, man. That's all you're asking for, right?
But then the problem is, people think I'm boozy enough on this show as it is. The problem is, when you have a keg, that thing goes flat awfully fast. I mean, I have to drink a keg within a matter of days.
That's why I said get a pony keg.
Okay.
And you drink one of those, okay, you know, every 4 days, right?
Every, yeah. Wow. Alcoholics Anonymous right here. This is...
Well, I'm glad you're finally admitting it.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Let's get into Raw a little bit. What did you think of Raw from Monday night?
I thought it was good. I sent out a tweet shortly afterwards that said, what is this, 3 or 4 weeks of consistently good Raws on television? Count me surprised. I mean, it was a good show from head to toe, from top to bottom. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was solid. I don't think it was as good as the previous 3 weeks. It was the final show going into a pay-per-view. They went with the premise that they'd done in years past. It was easy to see where it was going, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. And by the end of the show, I think people were, for the most part, pretty excited about Dean Ambrose taking on Seth Rollins. The only thing that was missing was Ambrose shooting out a liquid out of a hose and somebody screaming Stone Cold 3 times in a row.
Right. That was the moment when he came in on that police car. Yeah.
Right. So Dean Ambrose transformed into the modern day Stone Cold Steve Austin. But he came into the arena in the paddy wagon. I had no idea in this century they still have paddy wagons. So they're just picking up, they're just traveling around the streets looking for vagrants and drunks, you know, and they pick them up, you know. You're being abusive, so I'm throwing you in the back of the paddy wagon so you can sleep it off. So, but there he was.
And amazing, too.
NYPD felt so bad that they falsely accused him of punching a cameraman and assaulting him. They said, please, take our truck. Here's a jacket and a hat. Go back to the arena.
I also thought it was pretty funny that I think one of those cops was the same cop that arrested Stephanie McMahon last year when we were there.
Really?
Right. I could be wrong with the guy with the mustache. I'd have to go rewatch the clip. Looked awfully familiar.
So maybe the family moved. He had to switch precincts.
Just follows WWE around. I know there's going to be some shenanigans tonight.
Right.
Let's make sure we're there.
So the story was that Ambrose and Roman Reigns took on Kane and Rollins. Ambrose pinned Rollins, and then afterwards in the back, Rollins was being interviewed. J&J security interrupted, and they all got into a fight. And next thing you know, Ambrose accidentally hit the cameraman who went down, and Ambrose is like, oh, what have I done? So the authority gets the cameraman to press charges against him for assault and take him away. And the reason why they did this is because Ambrose hadn't signed the contract for the match at Elimination Chamber yet. And if he didn't sign it, the match wasn't going to happen. And, of course, the video shows up where actually Seth Rollins pushed the cameraman into Dean Ambrose's fist at one point. And so the cops, you know, quickly saw this as part of their investigation because they were, you know, tuning into Raw intently and seeing if, in fact, Ambrose was guilty of the crime. And they let him off the hook, sent him back to the building with truck, jacket, and hat in tow. And, oh, and a couple of nightclubs as well, so he could inflict violence on them. And by the way, in all the scuttlebutt of the authority trying to get out of the way of Ambrose, somehow they dropped the contract. And Dean Ambrose was able to sign it. Hey, look what I found. Between that, it was a goofy angle, but it was fine. Because, I mean, you had the whole goofiness of, you know, is Ambrose going to come back? We all knew he was, signed the contract. Plus, Roman Reigns, his good buddy, such a good friend, didn't go out of his way to, I don't know, sign the contract to get the match for himself or anything. He was more than willing to be a distraction and go in there and take an ass kicking at the hands of Rollins and Kane and J&J security just so his good buddy could make a grand entrance and he could run interference for him. As Reigns is sitting there with a smile on his face after he's gotten his teeth kicked down his throat, but it's all okay because here comes my buddy in the paddy wagon.
Is that how the contracts work? That basically anybody who manages to grab that contract and put their name on it is now the number one contender by default?
That's no matter what it should be. I always love their contracts in big letters. Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. I mean, you can read this from, you know, space. You know, the contracts that they've got. So, but
Oh my God.
The goofiest thing to me that nobody's really talked about is the Reigns part. So Reigns goes out there, hey, you're my good buddy. I don't care about a title match, you know. What? I'm not even on the pay-per-view. Who cares? Oh, still going to beat me up a little bit? It's all good, you know. It's all fine.
Yeah, that whole thing. Well, first off, whenever Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, right after they got him arrested, said, yeah, he won't be able to make it back by the end of the night. That'll be great because he won't be able to sign the contract. Two thoughts went through my mind. First off, what is your main event on Sunday then? So you've been, this was your main event for so long.
Yeah. Because they're all about what's best for business, but I guess they didn't care that they didn't have a main event.
Right. Secondly, my wife turned to me immediately and said, I bet you $5 million he's coming back by the end of the night. Of course he is. That's the whole setup.
Right? Because you've watched wrestling before.
Right. Right. Otherwise, what would the end of the show have been? Like that that tag team battle royal, that would have been how your show ended?
Look, he didn't make it. I told you, Seth, you got the day up. I'm the champ. Woo!
God, that would have been beautiful. Can you imagine if they just come out and cut that promo and said, well, he's not here. See you guys later.
The Brooklyn Brawler's going, yes, I got a shot. I'm around all the time. They'll give me the title shot.
I did think it did have a Stone Cold Steve Austin vibe for sure. The way he bolted down there, the reaction he got, that chaos feeling. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happened back in the day when Vince McMahon was in charge. The contract was there. That kind of goofiness where they dropped the contract and all that nonsense. This is an Attitude Era angle, and I enjoyed it. And I'm glad they're giving.
You should have pulled up to the building and like hit some lights and some stuff on the way. Cause like they already showed him like going to the building and everybody's just standing on the side going, hey, look at this. Here comes a police vehicle by us. But he should have hit some stuff. So he's like out of control, you know. Look out, you're gonna Dean Ambrose.
Right. But I think it worked as a whole, and I'm glad to see them giving Dean Ambrose this platform. He has not had this big of a platform yet, and I was worried they weren't going to have the faith in him. Granted, it is a B-level pay-per-view, but my God, the man has charisma. He's got energy. The fans are behind him. I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it.
It's not even an official pay-per-view because, remember, this is an add-on show that's exclusive for the network to try to get people to sign up, even for the free sub, before the end of the month.
Right, which expires Sunday night at midnight.
Right, and the pay-per-view ends at 11 o'clock Eastern midnight. So if you signed up for the free subscription, and remember, even while it's free, you have to give them your credit card information or your PayPal. You have 1 hour to cancel, or else you will be charged at the stroke of midnight.
Actually, you only have technically about 5 minutes because we will be live at 11:05 with our Elimination Chamber post-game show. So before 11:05, and we normally go till right up to the hour. So make sure you're good before that.
People are just screwing. Oh my God, I forgot. That's what WWE's hoping.
Right.
I'm so tired. I got to go to bed. They wake up in the morning. No! $9.99!
So has 2 weeks been a pretty good, I mean, this has been a 2 week build, and we'll have another 2 week build coming out of this show going into Money in the Bank. I think it's been pretty good, pretty exciting for a shortened build, a shortened program.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and we're seeing some different guys that we want to see involved. So, it's funny that one of the things that people thought was going to happen was after WrestleMania, what's going to happen with Rusev? They're just going to kind of throw him to the wayside. You know what? Rusev's still being used in a pretty major way. And I said this before, and I still think that they have big plans for Rusev going forward.
Do you think Rusev will be in a title match for the championship before next year's WrestleMania? Like involved in some, even if it's like a multi-man match, like a four-way or a, you know, now, something like that.
I could see something where like September, October. Mm-hmm. I could see something there, yeah.
Like, you know, he's being used. My follow-up question is
I could even see him like, you know, in the Royal Rumble, the heavyweight you know, championship match isn't always the biggest match in the show because that goes to the Rumble.
Right. My follow-up question is this. Do you think there is a possibility that Lana is pulling the wool over all of our eyes, including Dolph Ziggler, God bless his heart, and could be turning back to the Russian Federation?
No, because she's losing her accent more and more every week.
Gotcha.
Same with Rusev. I was waiting for Rusev to come out in the wake with a Brooklyn accent or something at one point last night. I mean, they were in Long Island. I was waiting for it, like,
Right.
But
he's Bulgarian. I mean, he's got to bring back his...
He's renounced Russia. He renounced Russia on the show last night. He didn't, but I mean, they did for him, and he was carrying a Bulgarian flag. So now everybody's back on their globe going, where's Bulgaria? You know? So no more pictures.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Yes. No more pictures of Putin. I mean, none of that. So, yeah, it's funny because, like, I like the way that they did the breakup. And I'm not the biggest fan of the breakup still, and I know you aren't, but it's been entertaining because they get back together last night. Russo's like, come on, baby, let's do this. You know, we work together better. Come on, I miss you. So they get back together, and he's like, all right, let's do this. All right. All you got to do now is say you were wrong. And she's like, what? And basically, he was just like, he gets all pissed off, and he's like, you are a woman. Damn it. You're going to say you're wrong, okay? So, obviously, Rusev has never been with a woman before for more than, I don't know, 3 weeks. So,
I bet Vince McMahon wrote this storyline himself. He's like, this makes perfect sense. Bah, yes. A woman would totally give in to a man. Swipe left. Bah.
This is the longest term relationship that Rusev has ever been in with somebody of the opposite sex.
Right.
So, of course, she freaks out too, and she's like, you're a liar and you're a quitter. And you're nothing but a caveman. And he's like, I am not a quitter. You quit for me. So, you know, she leaves. And, of course, hey, Dolph Ziggler's here. Dolph doesn't mind that he knows he's in the middle of this feud. And he's only being used to make Rusev jealous. But he does not care because he gets to make out with Lana. He's like, whatever, baby. Put those lips on me. Let's do it. So,
can you imagine if they had babies? Those would be the blondest babies in the world. They'd be like bleach blonde popping out of the womb, like swagging hair, right?
Sure, why not? Jean jacket on.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so Dolph Ziggler doesn't even care that he's being used. He's like, whatever, man. I get to make out with a hot chick. It's all good. And then, so later in the show, Ziggler has a match with Sheamus again. Rusev comes out, distracts him. Sheamus with the brogue kick, a vicious brogue kick that looked like it literally almost took Ziggler's head off.
Yep.
And then afterwards, Rusev gets in the ring, puts Ziggler in the accolade. Lana comes down. He's like, look at him now. Look at him now. You know, which was pretty damn fantastic.
That was a good impression. I liked that.
Yeah.
Spot so on.
Like, I got you now. So, yeah, that worked out really good. And, you know, and the one thing that they didn't really, like, jam down everybody's throats, though, was – by the way, you know, they're all going to be in the Elimination Chamber on Sunday as they, you know, vie for a title.
Right. They kind of touched on that in right. passing, but they didn't really like make it a big deal. Like I think they should have.
Right.
I did like, I do think, while I'm not a big fan of them breaking up and I think maybe it's too soon, I like the angle a lot. And I'm glad to see that Rusev is getting more of that personality. He's getting more chances to speak and he's really good. He's really good on the mic. He's got a good character established for him. You know, it's fun.
By the way, so last night, Raw was the final night that they'll ever have a WWE event at the Nassau Coliseum because they're closing the building down. There's a lot of other newer buildings in the area. The hockey team there, the Islanders have left to go to the Barclays in Brooklyn. So they're shutting it down. Even before the show, Vince McMahon came out and addressed the crowd, right? So when somebody asked you the trivia question, what is the final televised match to ever take place at the Nassau Coliseum? One of the more used buildings in WWE history going back to 1974, I believe. The answer to that trivia question would be, yes, a handicap tag match that featured the three heels, also known as the New Day, taking on 10 baby faces in a reverse handicap match. Those 10 baby faces, Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, Primetime Players, Los Matadores, The Ascension, and the Lucha Dragons. Oh, and by the way, the match would end in just a few minutes by DQ.
Maybe they did a dark match. I mean, they did a dark match, right?
That's the last televised match.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No comment.
Okay. That's that weird booking where you do a handicap match, but it's the baby faces that have the advantage.
Right.
That should never happen. Why did Kane make that match? So the New Day's in the ring and they're just bragging about the other champs and, you know, it's not fair at Elimination Chamber, blah, blah, blah. So Kane, a fellow heel, comes out and says, stop your whining. You want something to cry about? Face these 10 guys right now.
And so, Kane was still wearing his wrestling attire too. No shirt, his pants, his elbow pads.
Yes.
He was ready for a match.
You never know when you're going to be called for a match, you know.
Right.
By the way, when he gets done at night, did he just put on the shirt and the jacket and he's, you know,
goes out?
The guy's just wearing half a suit. I mean,
he goes out for drinks.
I'm telling you, man, what is his budget? Does he get a budget for his suits because they're part of his wrestling attire?
He goes to like Walmart. He buys like the cheap, like the Dockers knockoff. They're like,
he can't do that. He's Rockers. Too. They don't sell his size at Walmart.
Walmart big and tall.
Oh, is there a Walmart big and tall?
Probably somewhere in this world.
You know that he has to go to a big and tall to get these damn suits tailored for his size. Okay. And he's like, I got to go out there and wrestle in my freaking suit pants.
Do you reckon it's polyester or cotton, or does he go for the wool to wrestle
with?
What would be the – what would you – I mean
– wool would tear a little bit too easy, I would think, because it's so thin. I mean, it's more comfortable, obviously. I mean, it's not like a satin blend or anything, but I don't know. Maybe a polyester blend.
No, polyester doesn't breathe as well, though, and it's flammable. But, I mean, he has flames everywhere. I don't know.
Well, it's true.
Highly flammable. I mean, I think it's probably just like a nice cotton pant that he wears.
Maybe a cotton wool mix.
Oh, could be. We should ask him.
A little 50-50.
Whenever you interview him the next time, ask him what his wrestling
I have not talked to Kane in a long time. I just know a couple things. One, do not ask him about Isaac Yankum DDS, which somebody else did a couple of years ago, and that did not turn out well.
Oh, God.
And also, do not ask him about the infamous Katie Vick storyline, like somebody did a week after it happened.
Well, what were you supposed to ask if it happened that same week?
I asked him about the storyline, and I said, did it feel awkward to be part of a what kind of storyline? What necrophilia.
Yeah.
I said, well, I go, did it feel awkward to be part of a necrophilia storyline? And he was like, what do you – he like totally tried to deflect it. And like this was the first question of a 10-minute interview, and I was like
– oh, God.
I was like this at the end. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. I recovered. I think the rest of the last 9 minutes were spent about his mask. I don't know.
Oh, God. That's funny.
That's not what I put on the demo tape.
Right. I did enjoy Kevin Owens is phenomenal. And I don't know if it was this week. I might be going back to NXT now. One of the things he said recently that stood out to me.
Didn't say it on Raw Monday because he didn't talk.
That's right. It must have been last week. He was talking about defending the championship. He's talking about how he defended the championship and all the house shows over the weekend and blah, blah, blah. And I really thought that was a nice touch because for so many years, they've acted like the house shows aren't real things. And they brought them back up and mentioned the title defenses. And to me, that really stood out as being something that's, that's a nice little touch because maybe they're bringing back house shows as being a thing. I don't know,
maybe, but Owens is being treated like a major star. Second week in a row, he's gone out there, stood toe-to-toe with John Cena. This time he attacked him from behind, but he laid him out with the pop-up powerbomb, left him laying, stomped on the U.S. title, held up the NXT championship. Here's the thing, though, okay? So they're going to have the match Sunday on the Elimination Chamber, right?
Yes.
You know it's not a title match.
Right. It's a champion versus champion match.
It is, but there are no championships on the line.
No. So it just... Can you imagine? Wait, time out. Can you imagine if the NXT title was on the line and John Cena won it?
We can't have title versus title here.
I'm just saying, can you imagine the internet's reaction?
So here's the thing, okay? What do we keep talking about in WWE? It's too many belts, right?
Right.
So why not do title versus title? Owens somehow screws Cena out of the belt, wins the U.S. title, and throws that sucker down and just buries it. And they have to do away with the title. It says, this thing doesn't mean squat. I'm the NXT champion. I don't care about this belt, blah, blah, blah. And then you do away with the U.S. championship. It's just gone into the ether.
I kind of like that idea, actually. I wasn't really on board until you kind of got to that last part. It makes sense. Kevin Owens is the guy that can get away with doing that in a storyline fashion. It would elevate the NXT title. It would elevate that whole brand down there at Full Sail. And, the United States Championship has become a TV title anyway. So,
right. I'm going to throw out an idea, too. When we talk about the NXT brand and how strong it's become and what WWE with all the cross-promotion and different things, I would not be surprised if later this year say WWE did another free month promotion, September, October, whenever, right?
Okay.
And say they wanted to add on another network exclusive pay-per-view, like they're doing with Elimination Chamber. What if they did NXT versus WWE?
It would be exactly what they tried to do with SmackDown versus Raw all those years ago, but it would actually matter to fans because fans feel very impassioned about NXT in a way they never did about SmackDown.
One night only, NXT versus WWE.
I'm telling you, that could be huge, man. That could be huge. What do you, who do you have in that show, on that card?
Well, you know, obviously Kevin Owens, you've got... You're hoping Sami Zayn is healthy by then. You've got Finn Balor. You've got the women. The women, it would be the biggest showcase would be for the women.
Right.
To me. Enzo and Big Cass out there.
I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay.
Okay. So you have this pay-per-view. And now that we're not even a pay-per-view. It is just a WWE Network exclusive, like you said. And since they're in the habit of just dropping stuff on the network with literally 2 weeks' notice now with this. By the way, did we ever figure out when those Corpus Christi tickets went on sale?
I do not.
Okay. But since they're in the habit of just dropping pay-per-view level shows in our laps right now.
That's where Chamber's at, right? Is Corpus Christi?
Right.
So basically, I mean, tickets were already on sale. It's just it was an afternoon show, so now it's a night show.
Okay. So do that exact same thing, and you build up to it, and people don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think that's the beauty of it. Like the network, the beauty of it is you don't have to have much advance notice for it.
Well, what if NXT guys just keep popping up on Raw
right.
1 week, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. And everybody says, I'm sick of this crap. And NXT says, we want to challenge you, man. Yep. And they send, finally they go, let's do it.
And you have these established guys already up there. You have Neville up there who could – Neville and Bo Dallas who can represent NXT. And they're the inside guys. You have Sami Zayn who made an appearance, Kevin Owens. I mean, this could be blockbuster.
You're welcome. I'm booking for you again.
Okay.
This is what I do.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's like what it's what you do?
It's what I do.
Okay. All right. Last time you booked like Undertaker losing at SummerSlam or something ridiculous like that.
What are you talking about?
Like last year or something. Remember, Undertaker's going to lose at SummerSlam. This is your big idea. You're a genius. And Undertaker and Kane, and he's going to lose to somebody. I don't remember. Yeah. You got it wrong, though, buddy. You got it wrong.
I'm just coming up with ideas. If they want to utilize them, this is not prediction. I'm spitballing creative ideas here. And if somebody wants to capitalize on my ideas, I'm sharing them to the world here. Everybody can use them.
WWE going to steal our idea for the
it's not stealing. I'm sharing with them.
The Lana Americanization storyline where Dolph Ziggler takes her to all the
yeah, that she's learning English. I want to say where she tries to become a citizen and she has to take the test.
Right. Yes. That'd be good. That'd be good. What else happened on Raw?
I pledge allegiance. Oh, what's the next line? Oh. And Dolph's feeding it to her.
Right. He helps her cheat on the test. He helps her. He passes her some notes or whatever.
That'd be great. Let's see what else really stood out on the show. Was there anything else? I mean, by the way, the cast of Entourage was there.
Okay.
And I actually thought they were utilized in a really good manner. They were in a couple of segments, but it wasn't anything that overwhelmed anything. It was just very small segments. And then the only thing we didn't have was Ari was not there. It was just the four guys, the crew. And then they did.
But he's been on Raw before, right?
Jeremy Piven has been on. He actually did a high cross body off the top rope one time.
Yep. So, I mean, okay, he's cool. We're good with him.
And then but they did have the group from Entourage. They introduced their boy E from Entourage, said one of our own from Long Island, Zack Ryder, for the U.S. Open Challenge, who went out there, got 4 minutes with the champ, John Cena, and then was pinned. And everybody said, rats. All right, everybody, it's all good. We're all buddies here.
I thought that was very interesting because of the fact that it played into what they were doing with the whole Entourage thing anyway. But did you get the feeling they were trying to position those guys as somewhat of like heel figures, like tweeners at the very, okay.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, maybe not, but Zack Ryder was obviously very popular in that crowd. And I'm telling you something though, Zack Ryder as that heel guy, take what he does and make him a heel, I think it would be money. I think that kind of right. Like Zack Ryder's snobby thing. I think that that's could be where you could go with him. But it was interesting to see him get the rub here because they've done nothing with him for years.
He was at the NXT tapings last week.
Yeah,
he was in a match.
Did he win?
I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
I don't like to give away taping spoilers. So.
Did he win? Just me and you. Don't tell anybody else.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I don't remember.
Must have been a great match. who'd he wrestle?
I think he won, but I don't remember.
Oh, God. Oh, there's a guy who could go down to NXT, and he could benefit from a character tweak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. By the way, if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask them here in the room. We do have the Q&A set up, so feel free. Pop your questions in. We'll start answering some questions here. Just as a reminder, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please share the videos, like them, and feel free to make comments as well. And you can check us out online, of course, at BetweenTheRopes.com as well. Let's see.
If you're viewing live, let me just say how much I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. You know, you guys are great. I know some of you guys think that when Brian Fritz isn't around, I can't hold my own. And, you know, maybe I'm too entitled and I'm ungrateful and that I would be nothing without Senior Fritz on the other end. And you're probably right. But, you know, still, I appreciate the views. You guys are awesome.
There you go. Was there anything else that really stood out from the show? I mean, we did have a couple of matches. I mean, Ryback beat King Barrett. For some reason, I had to throw it out there like that. Rusev squashed R-Truth, and I mean squashed him. But yeah, R-Truth is for some reason in the Elimination Chamber on Sunday for the Intercontinental title. I guess just because they needed the sixth person, they couldn't think of anybody else. Neville beat Stardust. Afterwards, he got attacked by Bo Dallas, setting up their match at Elimination Chamber. And then we had the Cena match against Ryder. Paige lost to Tamina in what was not a very good match. We had that handicap tag match, and that was it when it came to matches. So it wasn't a week for hot wrestling action, I guess.
I want you to know that I'm listening to you, but there's also something really weird going on in my office, and there's like a clicking noise, and something weird is going on. So while I love wrestling, I'm really worried something is going to jump out behind me when I'm not looking. And if it does, Brian, you got to tell me because there's some weird.
I'm just going to like hardline it to even where I talk. We'll just keep the camera on you. So that way if something does happen, we see it because I don't want to miss it.
It's like right up there, man. It's like clicking like one of those things you see in a horror movie where it's like click, 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 click. Like I don't know, man. Live video in action, baby.
No. I can't miss that, though. I got to see that if something happens.
It could just be my AC is being on the fritz. On the fritz! See what I did there?
That's like using the Lord's name in vain. You're using my name in vain.
Your name is always used in vain as long as you have it, buddy.
How dare you say that, man? On the fritz. No, you don't say that, especially me. No.
Oh, get over yourself.
Don't use my name in vain.
Like I said, your name is always being used in vain as long as it's yours.
Hear you. So we've got six matches for Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
On the pre-show, there is no match, but
Daniel Bryan versus The Miz.
Daniel Bryan's going to get interviewed by The Miz. What do you think they're going to talk about? I mean, seriously, so The Miz is coming back after doing his latest movie. I wonder if they are going to divulge any of the details of Daniel Bryan's injury. My guess is no, but I'm curious to see what they actually say. What exactly is your injury? What exactly is the prognosis? What have doctors told you?
You almost get the feeling that they're going to have a more definitive timetable in place if he's coming to do an interview. And I think what that means is that maybe the injury isn't career threatening. I mean, it is career threatening because of the type of injury it is, but maybe there's a bigger chance he's going to be coming back. Obviously they're going to be hyping Tough Enough because Daniel Bryan's going to be on Tough Enough. But, you almost wonder if maybe they're going to set up some kind of timetable. Daniel Bryan says, I'll be back in a few months. I don't think he's retiring because they would do that on Raw, I feel like, but who knows?
But you know what? With all the videos they've been doing, you know, and they're obviously promoting the DVD of his that's coming out next week. And with all the promotion and things like a guy that nobody ever thought could make it, the true underdog, and had his WrestleMania moment, the way that they are, I understand they're promoting a DVD and they're trying to sell Daniel Bryan, but they're doing it in such a fashion that I really believe, like, oh my God, I don't know if he's coming back. I mean, obviously that is definitely on the table, but it's almost like they're trying to tease that even more, like, hope you appreciated this guy and how great he was, because he's done.
Or maybe they're building it up such a way that whenever he comes back, they'll feel like they can capitalize on it. He'll be a bigger deal, you know?
Maybe. I hope so, man, because it's interesting the way that they are doing that right now. So the matches we have, we've got the Intercontinental Championship inside the Elimination Chamber. Sheamus, Ryback, R-Truth, King Barrett, Rusev, Dolph Ziggler, and his jean jacket. Neville against Bo Dallas. Seth Rollins against Dean Ambrose for the world title. We have the triple threat for the Divas Championship. Nikki versus Paige versus Naomi. John Cena versus Kevin Owens, because they don't like each other. And we have the tag team Elimination Chamber match. The New Day, Lucha Dragons, Kid and Cesaro, Primetime Players, The Ascension, and Los Matadores. Batting down the hatches, everybody.
Yeah, and you'll notice that they did announce on Raw that the New Day, well, not all three, be in the chamber together. There will be two of them.
I think they're going to try to find a way to make that happen. I think they're going to come in through the top and just stand on the other guy's shoulders. And they go, it's just one person. We're only taking up one space.
Right. Big E is big enough, though, to take up an entire spot in the chamber by himself.
Him and that robe he wears. Right. The one that's got that big robe.
Uh-huh.
I love how, like, Big E talks, like, extra deep when he talks. He can't just be like, I'm Big E, I gotta talk. It's like, I'm Big E.
Right. Who do you think is going to win?
Which one?
Tag team match. That's where we are. Let's go with it.
Tag team? I think Kid and Cesaro are going to win the belts back.
Okay. Final two?
It's got to be New Day against Kid and Cesaro. Please.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the belts back. I think that makes the most sense at this juncture.
Who gets eliminated first?
In that match, Los Matadores.
Before the Ascension?
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to the wasteland, baby.
By the way, my sleeper pick, Lucha Dragons.
You think they could win the belt?
Yes.
Huh.
I think they want baby faces to win the belt because they're going to take on the Wyatt family.
Okay. That's an interesting pick. I guess I hadn't considered that. It seems awfully early for them, and they haven't been built up as much in the last few weeks.
Because that puts Luchas with the Wyatts, and it continues New Day against Kid and Cesaro if they want.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
You reckon they could one up everything, and then this month, you know what I'd love to see? They won't do this, but if you're going to build up your tag team division like this, have a tag team Money in the Bank. Like,
oh my
briefcase,
God.
Match, whatever you want to do with it.
That'd be crazy.
And then the tag team could cash in whenever. And it would be beautiful if the New Day were holding the briefcases and they were going to do it Freebird style cash in. I think that would be
Freebird cool. Style cash in.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think's winning the IC match?
That's a tough one. I almost feel like they're positioning Dolph Ziggler for that. And have Ziggler and Rusev feud coming out of this pay-per-view over that belt.
I think Sheamus is winning it.
Really?
Yep.
Nope, I don't think so.
Well, you know, you can be right and I can be right. So
I really do think they're going to propel Sheamus into the main event level picture at some point. I think that's the whole point in bringing him back in this fashion is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need that
too. I can see it too.
You need a heel, more heels, right?
Yeah, absolutely you do. But I don't know if now is going to be the time that they do that or not. Maybe. Cena against Owens. I think it's pretty safe to say that we all think that maybe I'm just jumping to conclusions here that Cena's going to win, but something funky is going to happen in this match somehow. And by the way,
okay.
I don't think Samoa Joe is going to interfere. I know I joked last night on Twitter that maybe he could. Somebody brought it up. Number one, he's doing an indie show that afternoon someplace else. But two, So Samoa Joe has a very, very, very interesting deal with WWE, okay? He's not exclusive to them. He's not a full-time employee with them or NXT. He signed on for however many dates. But his deal is so rare, and this is the first time that we've seen this in a long time with WWE. He is a true independent contractor, meaning he can go work wherever else he wants, including he is working a show, what is it, June 20th, I believe?
Yeah.
Ring of Honor, Dream Match. It will be Samoa Joe and AJ Styles tagging against Daniels and Kazarian, and it's on a Ring of Honor television taping.
Yep.
Now, how about that?
So take your syndication rights, people.
So because of that, and because of his unique deal to be on other people's TV, I don't think we're going to see Samoa Joe on the main roster anytime soon. Because I think before they would show him on the main roster, he would have to have a different deal where he was exclusive to them. But they look at NXT differently. This doesn't mean... I think they would look at TNA differently as well, saying he's not going to be there, but they're fine if he's on Ring of Honor television.
I think that deal's going to come to an end. I think maybe this is a way to soften Joe into the fold and see what the reaction is. And I think what you'll end up seeing is that deal come to an end maybe around SummerSlam, and then Joe is going to be a full-timer in WWE, I think, before next year's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I know there have been talks that this might be a Legends deal, or that Joe, you know, might not be around full-time. That reaction, and he's still young enough that he could have one good run in WWE, and it would bring both parties money. And if they don't do it, they're leaving money on the table, I think.
Well, I think the plan has been and will continue to be focusing on him in NXT to help build that brand. And if he gets hot enough and the right people pay attention, then he could get brought up to the main roster. I do not think the plan has been for him to be on the main roster. And I think if anything goes the way that they plan it, he will never be on the main roster.
Do you think so?
Yes. I think that they are using Samoa Joe, and they could utilize this same – they're using him as like the test balloon because they want NXT to be its own brand. They want it to be as strong as possible, hopefully by the middle of next year. Remember, Triple H did a conference call just before the just last week before the NXT TakeOver special. And he says, we're going to be testing a lot of different things by the end of the year. And we're hoping that by next year, NXT is a full-time touring brand. And they want to build it up to be as big of a brand as possible. And because of that, they want some more star talent. They want guys that are already established that people would want to go out of their way to see. So I think Samoa Joe is the first test of this. But I think the plan... unless he just becomes so hot that they deviate from it, that he's an NXT guy, not a WWE guy. He's an NXT guy. And I'd be curious to see who else they might try this with. Because could you imagine if they said, hey, you know what? This deal with Joe has been working out. It's been beneficial for both parties. AJ Styles, how would you like to come in here and do the same thing? What if there's some other guys that are going to be out there as well and say, hey, why don't you do the same thing? You know, as much as we say, hey, you know what? We'd love to see him up in the main WWE roster. And WWE might just say, hey, you know what? We want to use these guys to build NXT as a brand and to really help launch it.
But aren't they selling themselves short by not letting these guys come up to the main roster at some point? I mean, I'm telling you, a Samoa Joe, John Cena dream match, that thing could be phenomenal. There are a number of guys that the main roster, the number of guys on the main roster who could work with Joe, even the guys that are younger talent.
Let me ask you this question.
In there.
Let me ask this question.
Okay.
Who runs WWE?
Right.
Who runs Triple WWE? Answer the question. Seriously.
Vince McMahon.
Who runs NXT?
Triple H.
Think there's a little bit of a different philosophy?
Yes. But I think that I really do believe from what I'm seeing on TV recently that NXT philosophy, because of how hot that brand has been, is starting to be reflected on WWE television, and they've loosened the reins a little bit. I firmly believe that.
But I also look at it as I think that they look at who is a star for WWE compared to who could be a star with a smaller brand is still very different. Whether right or wrong, whether you believe it or not, But I just think that they look at it and they say, this guy can be a star, but he's an NXT star. He's not a WWE star. And we need draws. We need star guys in NXT. And that's going to be the cap, especially for a guy that's already been on the indies and he's already in his mid to upper 30s and maybe only wants to go X amount more years, that this is the plan for them.
But my point is that when you're looking at what's happening on the main roster, even with Kevin Owens coming up and being involved in a WWE pay-per-view, that is not Vince McMahon booking. That is Triple H booking. I believe
Triple H selling Vince McMahon on that booking and also saying it's a good idea to get our NXT talent up there when we want to have a special attraction for this match that's going to get people to sign on to get the network. And it doesn't mean it's a full-time call-up either. It just means maybe he's up there for a couple of weeks.
Sure. But you're breaking my heart, Fritzy. I just want to see Samoa Joe on the main roster. It's all I want in my life. All I want in my life.
This guy.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm not saying I'm wrong. And you never know. I mean, this could be the game plan. And then they go, look at this guy. He's so damn hot. Can you imagine him up on the main roster? Okay, let's rework this deal. But, I mean, at the same time, if this is the game plan, like I said, can you imagine they said AJ Styles? You can still work your dates in New Japan. But how about you come in and you work some shows with NXT, whether it's TV tapings, we go on the road sometimes, fit your schedule. That way, you know, every now and then you want to work a Ring of Honor booking or whatever, fine. But he's not full-time in New Japan. And there's going to be other guys that are hot indie names that could work under this. Hell, I mean, who else is out there that, I mean, what if they got Ricochet? Okay, say some have, I mean, he's under contract with Lucha Underground, so he's a bad example, actually. But, I mean, there are some other guys that are out there in indies, and they say, come on in.
Yeah. I get how that could work.
I mean, I think there's going to be other guys that maybe they come in and they use a contract like that. So WWE gets a test or a little taste of them, right? And then they say, you know what? Now we're going to change it. Because it could be, for some guys, this is the cap. This is where we want them to be. And for some other guys, it could be, let's bring you in. And we get a bigger sample size of see how you would work in our environment with our guys in our quote unquote style. And then we can go from there after 3 months, 4 months, whatever, and say, this is working. Let's take it to another level. We can keep it at this level, or we can say, you know what? I think it's best if we part ways.
I still want to go back though. I what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I want to go back to what Triple H said last week on the conference call, where he specifically talked about how they are not looking to put the indies out of business. Somebody brought that up, and if they're competing with them. And I think that's becoming more evident with the way that they're handling these talents, the way they're using these talents. And I think there's still, as NXT is getting bigger. I mean, yes, it's the developmental territory for WWE, but that brand on its own is getting bigger. The indies are starting to act as a feeder system to NXT to a certain extent. So, you know, maybe you're onto something there.
It's interesting the way they got the contracts, though, because, hey, Samoa Joe can go out there. Hey, I'm going to go work for PWG. I'm going to go work for Ring of Honor. I'm going to go work for this group and that group, and I'm working for NXT.
But isn't there a danger? Isn't there a danger in letting these talents come up from the indies and have that freedom?
Well, I don't think so, because the way that they look at NXT and they're using it to say, let's utilize these other stars. And it's not going to be on our main roster. WWE main roster is still the overwhelming amount of their business. That's where they make their money. It's going to be that way forever. It's not like NXT is going to be taking over the WWE main roster. So they say, you know what? Let's utilize the tools that are out there in a different fashion than we've thought about before to get people talking about this, to get people watching this. And that's another reason why, too, I don't think NXT is going to be on television, because they want to keep it on the network, because they want to utilize that brand and bringing in a talent like a Samoa Joe and maybe some other guys, and using the hype around NXT says, hey, you want to watch NXT television? You can't find it on your TV dial. You have to pay $9.99 a month on the WWE network so you can watch your NXT television.
Well, I you've convinced me. I don't think it's not what I want, but I understand how it works out in the end.
Do you want to get to some questions?
Do we have anything else? Any other breaking news? Anything else we want to talk about?
Let's see. Any other breaking news?
I can't think of anything.
NXT's going to be going to Sacramento in October.
Okay.
They're going to be part of the hold on 1 second. I'll have it. What is it?
I'm gonna.
They're at the Aftershock Festival.
Oh, cool. Good for them.
Bands playing there. Faith No More, Slipknot, Deftones, Shinedown, Jane's Addiction, Marilyn Manson. And then among advertised names, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, Blake and Murphy, Charlotte, Bailey, and Baron Corbin. I want to see Bailey come out while Slipknot is on stage.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
I'm throwing that out there for the world as well.
All right. Fritz's fantasy. See what questions we got here. We'll start off in-house with our Q&A app. If you're watching us live, we appreciate it. Question comes from the football manager WizKids. He asks, which talent of TNA do you see going to WWE? And I love this question. We've gotten it before, but now I think it's more relevant than ever. Fritzy, who would you take to WWE?
Number one, I want to put with this preference. We are not hoping that TNA goes out of business. Okay. We are not. This is a huge hypothetical because TNA is still in business and be a long time. And even if something was going to happen, they can still find another television deal and maybe they can survive for at least a few more months beyond losing Destination America. Maybe they would just survive as being a UK only promotion. I don't know. But if there was a doomsday and they did go out of business, what talent would they be interested in? I don't know if WWE would really be interested in hardly any talent, quite honestly. I mean, I know that right now they're not, just because they more or less let it be known, like, oh, you're on TNA? Well, then, no. Off the top of my head, I wonder if they would still be interested in a Bobby Roode, even though he is in his upper 30s. Drew Galloway would definitely be a guy that, to me, I think they would have to be interested in. They know Drew. I think he's improved since he's left there, and they could repackage him into what he is right now and better utilize him. If he was up for it and it was on a limited deal and WWE would accept that, to me, you got to bring in Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
Because he is such a draw. Problem there is it even worthwhile now because you've got Finn Balor? Even though he's on NXT, but they're going to kind of attract the same audience. So Bram would be another guy that I would really want to bring in.
I think, I've said for years, Bobby Roode is the guy that I would love to see in WWE. He's the guy that, hey, he's got the look, he's got the charisma, he is getting a little bit older, but he's the guy I think that could have a good main event run in WWE. He has the experience. And the
problem
character,
is he's 38 years old.
And he's short. So that works against him. But he still looks great, and he looks great in the ring. So
absolutely. And you know what the funny thing is? I don't know if TNA knows what to do with him right now.
Which is sad, which is a shame, which there's your problem, TNA, Dixie Carter, whoever else. I agree with the guys you picked. I think you left somebody off your list who could work in NXT very easily. Now, whether or not WWE would bring him in, I don't know. There is a working relationship with this guy because he's done some video game work for them before, and that man is Austin Aries. Austin Aries, I've heard he's kind of a prick, but he has done stuff for them with the game before. He's got that smaller style. He could work great down in NXT, and I think it would be a benefit to both parties to have him there.
You know, Austin Aries' contract with TNA, I believe, expires at the end of June.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think he'll go to NXT?
I think if it was up to him, he might. He definitely would like to talk to help his leveraging. I don't know what kind of interest there would be from WWE side. And okay. I don't know any information about that because I think he's very talented, but I think that if WWE really wanted him, they could have had him in the past and they have not signed him up.
But I agree with you, but I think that NXT makes this a different situation right now. And the fact that TNA is getting ready to possibly have less money to pay its talent, which means wrestlers who are making a lot will not be making as much, will make them more affordable to a company like NXT.
Sure. It's an interesting option, yeah.
Guys are going to NXT making, what, 40 grand a year? 50 grand a year? 60 grand a year, maybe?
Probably.
I mean, I don't know.
Mean, there's some guys, that are on, per night deals. It was funny because, there's even been some problems in the past where guys were, on a certain deal, and then they've come to find out it was only if they wrestled. It wasn't on a nightly deal. It was on a per-match deal. Or, I wrestled. It was a taping deal. So, say you wrestled two times at a taping. You're thinking, okay, I get paid twice. And they're like, nope, only once. So, there's been a lot of different questions about contracts when it comes to, what everybody assigned to in TNA.
Will we ever see Ken Anderson in WWE again?
No.
Yep. Nope.
No. Oh, and by the way, we will not see Christy Hemme in TNA very shortly, it looks like, because she has given notice.
Wow. Interesting. Is that breaking news? Breaking news. True. Dun, 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 dun.
She is leaving for another opportunity outside of pro wrestling.
Breaking news. Dun, 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 dun.
She's been on the creative team there. So the thing, she could still be a ring announcer, but the belief is that she's just going to be totally leave. Yeah, it's going to happen within the next couple of weeks. So Jeremy Borash, you're ring announcing again, buddy. Where's Penzer? Where's Dave Penzer?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Next question. So this independent worker idea, this question comes from Andrew Carreron. So this independent worker idea, could it be a way to get a one-time only Bullet Club appearance?
Now we're getting into some dream booking, aren't we? Hey, man, there's so many different directions that they could go with, especially because it's NXT and they're trying to sell that brand. And with it, they're trying to sell the network that you can't tell me that they said, hey, guess what? We are doing an NXT takeover. And guess what? It's going to be the top stars of NXT against the Bullet Club for one night only. People would pay for that. It would definitely be something that would pay for that. Now, I know some people will argue, well, the same diehard audience that would know about the Bullet Club are probably already subscribing. That's not necessarily the case. I really don't think that is. Obviously, if they know about it, they know about NXT, they might follow, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're subscribing to the network. So,
right.
There's a lot of different things that they could do as a hook to not only get you to watch NXT, but obviously watch the network. I mean, hey, the biggest things they've used the network for right now that they figured out are the monthly pay-per-views, their new line kind of reality programming, when they're doing the Springer show and they're doing, some of the Punk show that's coming out, all these different things like that, rather than, the archive. They're even doing the Roman Reigns special about his journey to WrestleMania and things like that. But NXT is a big part of this, and they're going to, I'm telling you, man, they are going to use NXT as a big draw to say, you want to watch NXT television, hottest thing going right now, you got to pay for the network. And I think they're going to push that down your throats, and I think they could use that in a lot of quote-unquote dream scenarios as a hook to get people, and who knows where they might go with it.
I think there is potential there with, you could say Bullet Club. There's any number of organizations or factions out there. Bullet Club is the big one for obvious reasons, but it could be. It could be a way to get them on there.
Sami Zayn versus Nakamura.
I think the big thing here that it tells me is that NXT wants, and Triple H, they want to work with these indie organizations for the betterment of the wrestling community as a whole. And I, there is that competitive nature in WWE, but NXT is not out to get the indies. It is out to prove a better pathway to the main roster and to help build up wrestling. I think the excitement around that brand proves this. And I think Triple H's comments echo this as well. The fact that they can give Joe this part-time deal, I think that's part of this. But I think they want to do something that's mutually beneficial for all of wrestling. And it also pays off in WWE. So, Bullet Club would tie right into that philosophy.
Finn Balor versus Okada, if you want to bring in the stars of New Japan.
Right. I think there's some. Can you imagine
Josh if we go back to the day? Carl Anderson against Enzo and Big Cass.
Can you imagine if we go back to the days of having big organizations fight against each other? Legitimately.
Hey, this is the territory days, man. That's what they're using NXT as. It's like the old territory days before the 80s.
It's crazy. That's crazy, man. All right. What else we got on the Facebook? On the old Facebook. Francis, I'm sorry, Francis. Getting ready to leave you out here. One of Francis's questions, because he asked us a number of questions. Do you think that there will be a TNA UK tour if TNA folded?
Yeah.
I think he means not TNA folded, but I think he means TNA gets canceled from TV.
Oh, yeah, because remember, TNA, if they leave Destination America, that's not going to be to the end of September. And right. The UK tour is, what, in July? So, yeah, that tour's happening.
Do you think TNA will go – this is me asking you this, Fritzy. Do you think TNA will go overseas and spend some time after September once the show goes off the air?
If they do not have a new television partner in the United States, yes.
Do you think the rumors that Destination America was pissed off about them mentioning being in the UK are true?
No.
Okay.
I just think that they're not making money off the show, that they didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to make money and get advertisers on there. And they're going to their other advertisers saying, hey, man, you're already spending money on Building Alaska and Barbecue Pitmasters. How about the highest rated show we have in this network's history? What's that? It's Impact Wrestling. Wait, professional wrestling? No, I'm not down for that.
As soon as they suck with the name Total Nonstop Action, they could be whatever. We're a television program that deals with characters larger than life who battle each other for supremacy.
Hey, when I interviewed Dixie Carter in January and talked about if Destination America was a fit, she goes, hey, their programming is all about Americana, and that's what we are.
Yeah. Der Michael Thomas B. hit us up on the YouTube comments section, and he said, hey, Wise and Fritz. Why is Tamina that unflexible? She looks stiff in the ring.
She did look stiff on Monday night, didn't she?
Yep. It was. She looked uncomfortable. Maybe she's not been, she needed to be loosened up a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know what the deal was there. That didn't work out that good. So I don't know if it's she's still working her way back from injury or what exactly is going on.
Yeah, I think she's a good worker. She used to be a good worker. So we'll just see what happens. But I'm glad to see her back. But that Divas Division needs some more depth.
By the way, the UK tour, I guess, that Francis was talking about, that's the January tour.
Yes. So, okay.
You know what? If a doomsday thing happened, I would think that you would get your money back if you bought a ticket now. So.
Let's see here. I think we're about to wrap it up with the question side of things.
Francis asked like 10 questions.
I do like some of his questions. He asked about Discovery America. He said, Destination America. He said, if it doesn't end up, if TNA gets pulled from Destination America, could it end up on another network, another Discovery network? That is.
No, I don't think Discovery networks would pick it up. Then you'd be looking at, could you get on a Fox Sports 2? Could you get back with Spike? Could you find – I don't think CMT is that interested in wrestling, because I think they would have already had wrestling, even though it's been talked about. So I don't know what other channels are out there that would be interested in wrestling. WGN, their name's been mentioned, but I don't know if there's anything serious there. So I'm not sure what other channels – and this goes for Global Force Wrestling as well, because they got to be looking at the same entities.
You missed a big one earlier, Fritzy, a big piece of news that came out today. Ooh. Hulk Hogan has talked. Yeah, Hulk Hogan back in the newsreel, right?
Hey, brother.
Has talked to Sylvester Stallone about the possibility of being a villain in The Expendables 4.
What? Will he be playing the role of Thunderlips, the ultimate male?
I certainly hope so.
Oh, Thunderlips.
Certainly hope so.
Punching everybody, and then let's take a Polaroid for the kids.
Yeah. I do want to give a quick just a pointer, a tip to you all. I know that our scheduling has been a little bit different. I know a lot of you listen to us on the podcast. If you do have a question, feel free to post it to our Facebook page or ask us on Twitter. We try to get to those as well. We usually post this question and A session about 2 hours to 3 hours beforehand. We've been going live around 4 or 4:30 on Tuesdays. So look for it on Facebook starting sometime around lunch. You can get your question in there, because I know more of you guys have got to have questions out there. And maybe, Fritzy, we can work out like a a question email address or something like that in the coming weeks.
Oh, maybe that's we could do that.
You never know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
right here.
You know, so, because right now we've basically been using a little bit of Facebook, but mostly the Q&A for here in the live video broadcast. So, yeah, we can do that. We can make up something else, get people to ask questions during the week or something, and try to answer as many as we can here on the live broadcast. So,
because I mean, we understand. I love the Q&A, and it's awesome. We understand that not all of you can be with us. Some of you guys have jobs or responsibilities. Fritzy and I, we just
apparently we do not because we're here. You're drinking beer already at 4:30 in the afternoon, and
there you go. That's right.
So, just the way that we roll. So,
but on that note,
yes, we do appreciate everybody for joining us, watching the video, listening to the podcast. Don't forget, please sign up, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/betweentheropes. Sign up, subscribe, see all the new videos that we have. You check out some of the ones from the past, whether it's shows like this or various interviews that we've done. Also, share the video, like the video, and feel free to make any kind of comments underneath. Just don't yell at Michael too much there. And check us out over at betweentheropes.com. Sign up for our regular podcast where you get audio from this plus other interviews we do during the week. You can sign up on iTunes or on Stitcher. We've got the links right there on the right-hand side over at BetweenTheRopes.com. Please rate us and review us if you sign up with either of those. Plus, we have other apps like the Downcast app and the TuneIn app where you can listen to our podcast. And over at BetweenTheRopes.com stories, we're starting some new features there, like daily features. Today, we start the Wrestling Fix, kind of a morning post where it has different links to a lot of different stories. You're going to have something where it's like the three biggest stories in WWE on any given day. Also, some other social media stuff that's going to be worked in when it comes to what's going on in the social media blogosphere, basically, on any given day when it comes to promotions and your biggest stars out there. So you can keep up with that. And you can also follow us on Twitter, it's at Between the Ropes, and Facebook. It's facebook.com/Between the Ropes. So thanks for everybody for joining in. For Michael Wiseman, don't drink too many beers tonight. I'm Brian Fritz, and thanks for joining us here and tuning in to Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.